gotten a baby. And I knew it was true, but I thought father or mother should tell her. And I said, oh, nonsense, it's a neighbor there. And then father came and said it was true, and so that's why I had delayed it, because this was a privilege of the parents to tell my little sister. And so I could entertain you with stories on that order. God, how I tried to hinder my parents to make me a favorite. My mother had a great inclination to do.
You tried to hinder them from making you a favorite?
Yeah, I thought they had no business to do that. Sure enough, my sister, when she was young, was really ugly. So ugly that my mother always said that the wet nurse would give her declarations of sympathy. And maybe she should become Catholic and go into a monastery. As she got older, of course, one could see what a decent person she is, and she's not pretty, but she looks awfully nice. Now, I was pretty, and that was one thing. And second, I was everything mother wanted. That had my secrets she didn't know, that she wouldn't have wanted. I hardly knew it myself. Oh, but there were stories. The little one, she was very gifted for dancing and things like that. And my mother, of course, thought that's nothing. One goes to the to high school and college. And it took me all I was worth to get that poor thing free from there, because she didn't belong there. These two sisters of mine had to suffer terribly, because I worked out to the dot, exactly the way mother had dreamt it should be until I began to outshine her. That was not in the program. Well, but that's neither here nor there.
You say you fit her desires perfectly until when?
Until I began to outshine her.
Oh, outshine her. Oh, yes.
That was not in the program.
How much education did she have for you?
Teacher's education, yeah. She didn't teach, but she had equipment. She had three sisters. They were all very educated girls. As education went in those days, they all knew we were going to house by heart and that kind of thing.
But this was all home education, was it private tutoring?
No, school.
So that when you started medical school, this was already too much.
There was a question, should I study languages and become, that would be a teaching career, because I was markedly gifted for that and always enjoyed it very much. And my father brought up the question of medicine. He said, because if I would be a teacher in languages, wouldn't even show that I had the academic education. But I believe that's not what he meant. We always thought we mistreated him as a very little dumbbell, which he wasn't. He wasn't, his IQ was not the strongest in him, but he had his very, definite feeling of what was what. And as I went into analysis, I gradually discovered that I saw him with my mother's eyes, and mother looked a little down on him. She made it the most harmonious marriage you have ever seen, because mother did everything right, and so it was the most lovely family you could think of. He was short, very good-looking head, but the head was sitting on the wrong kind of a, what do you call that?
Torso?
Mm-hmm. No use to record that. Did I ever tell you the story? You know what an avocanfos is?
A what?
An avocanfos?
No. No.
What the Orthodox Jewish man wears, a woolen piece with the woolen little cords in each corner. And of course my father has one, and of course my father was among the leading people of that Jewish community. The uncle who had asked him to come to that city was it, and so he belonged too. And he was very religious, but he thought all that stuff was a little boring. So he would not do this or that if one couldn't see it. If you would say to him, but Daddy, you forgot your avocados, he would say, don't talk such nonsense, and he would believe it while he would say it. But he may not even have it on while he says it. But he and the Lord had a very good relationship, whereas Mother and the Lord hadn't such a good relationship, but Mother knew what one had to do if one was in that social strata. So she would always say to him, she called him Tip. She said that was an appreciation from principle, because he had very strict principles about certain things, not hers, but his. Well, I believe today that was not the reason why she called him Zip. Zip is an abbreviation of Zipple, and Zipple is a little penis.
Oh, really?
But I'm sure she didn't know it herself. Well, anyway, so she said to him, and I've heard that any number of times, Zip, if you forget your other comforts, one day you'll die on the street, and the people of community will find you about without an abacanthus, and wouldn't you be embarrassed? And he would have been. Mm-hmm. Now, what does the Lord? He did die in elevator accident, and he didn't wear an abacanthus.
Oh.
He, God knows what he had in mind. I think that while he was a man who would never on God's earth have committed suicide, was entirely out, I still think he did it. He was very deaf, and he also was 65, and so they wanted to retire him from his position in the bank, because since he didn't know anything about money, they made him a chief of personnel. And he couldn't understand them, finally. He had got telephones and reinforcing telephones and extra enunciators on his desk. The whole desk looked like a machine house. But it didn't help. You didn't yet have good machines. Also, we were still all unmarried, and he didn't think they both wanted to wear machines, that we wouldn't get husbands. My mother thought that wouldn't be so important, but, well, it's not such a wrong idea in these circles.
Yeah.
Two deaf parents and a deaf aunt. Well, anyway, he had to be retired anyway, and he was too deaf too, but he developed a little paranoid system around that, and was terribly hurt and terribly miserable. Had no reason, really. They loved him all. He was the kind of person whom everybody loved, and it just did no longer work. And so he went to the bank on Sundays, because he didn't go Saturdays. And he had his office on a, or you couldn't even say mezzanine, it were just a few stairs. So there was no reason on God's earth that he should go down with the elevator. But they found him down on the floor, and the elevator door open, and the elevator not there. So something had been wrong with the elevator. Well, we never found out. Anyway, he was not wearing an avocado. As a result, I for a long time had a very hard time to ride on self-serving elevators. We all had. Well, anyway, Then the poor dear had no armor comfort. And my mother, of course, said, didn't I predict it? It would happen. Well,
what did you say about your mother and a wall?
What?
What did you just say about your mother and a wall?
Well, but you know, I'm a little bit for myself, only I hide it better. Because I realize it's not so charming.
This is about a wall.
If my mama went with her forehead towards the wall, well, the wall would give in.
Oh. Well, actually, you started out talking about your father saying how you went into medicine, and I wasn't quite clear.
Oh, yeah. Well, father wanted I should study medicine. He said, because then it would show that I really had college and university education, whereas you can be a teacher in languages without that. And
but you feel that
we believed, I believed later, I worked that out in my analysis, that while my mother didn't, of course, not want for me to go to medical school, because then I would really know more than she did. I mean, she'd kill me when she hear me say that, but such it was. But he, I think, had some kind of a feeling that I would do well at it, not just that this was.
This was a kind of excuse that would go over with your mother, and he knew it.
Yeah. Because she was always right in his mind, and one couldn't say no when she said yes. He was terribly in love with her and terribly impressed by her. Well, anyway, since the family couldn't decide what I should study, I was just 17 when I was ready for medical school. Everybody else was 18, 19 or so. So they decided I should stay home for half a year. And during that half year I should decide. I must say they decided. The time when I decided came later. Except that I fought for the benefit of my sisters and things like that. And so, how was it? Yeah, we graduated in September. And so I stayed home that term and learned how to sew, how to mend, how to cook, and all female virtues. And then my father's birthday was as of last Sunday, February 19th. And don't you believe that the day ever passes without my thinking of it. In the old days, usually I had something happen, a headache, or I fell on one of my famous knees, or something. These last years I have succeeded to spend the day without that, but I would think of it. He's dead now how long?
Must be over 30 years.
Yeah, 30 years, exactly. Exactly. He just still experienced, did I ever tell you about the Kosher Sanatorium?
Very vaguely.
Kosher Sanatorium, and he just still experienced to be there and be at the head of the kosher table, and it was his daughter's sanatorium, and it was all wonderful.
Now that must have been nice.
That was a great event. It was a little painful because the money had not come from him, but from the wealthy members of the family, and I hadn't asked him ahead of time as I borrowed it, because he would have said no. Because it would have gone against his pride, so I had to do it without asking him. So it was a little hard, but then when it came out so nicely. It was all right.
Where was the sanitarium?
Here, the idea was the following. Did I ever tell you about the experience at Walter Hirsch?
No.
Well, so all this we can cut out later, but I tell you that one. I had that brain injured soldiers hospital in Königsberg, and after 2 years I thought this was fine, but now I should learn it really. And so I went to Frankfurt, where Kurt Goldstein had born, and worked 2 years with him there. And then I decided to go into what I finally wanted to do, namely psychiatry and psychotherapy. And in my hometown, the best Jewish psychotherapist had died in the war. And so it was kind of a good idea to go and establish myself there. And I had to make money because at that time I had the child of this morphine addict friend with me, whom I brought up for 3 or 4 years. So,
how old was she then for you?
From 10 to 13 or 14, I think. So, my mother found me. I went home, I was still in Frankfurt. My mother found me a nice home and office and a maid, in a place where I could live with that girl, in a nice part of the city where I liked to work, and everything was hunky-dory. However, I felt, since I had been 4 years in the brain-injured soldiers, that is strongly neurological work with not too much psychotherapy, it would be wiser to get a little refreshed on psychotherapy. And there was a man, maybe the only man at that time, who really seriously did psychotherapy as such in Germany. It was I.H. Schulz. He's still living, he's past his 70s now. He was a Nazi. He always told me I shouldn't worry, after all his first wife had been a Jewess. He looked so anti-Semitic, if you know what that is. Certain people look at. And anyway, he was professor in Jena, which is one of the small good universities in Germany. And I wanted to go there for 2 or 3 months and then go into practice. And Schulz had just left Jena and had taken over a, that's what you call in German, sanatorium. A place where people recovered and one did something for their most esteemed nerves or for having them reduced or that kind of a place. And one of the famous ones was Walter Hirsch, White Deer, near Dresden in the mountains, but near enough to Dresden so that you could go to the opera there and to the wonderful art exhibition and so on and so forth.
Sort of a spa.
Yeah. So, expensive, wealthy people went there, and let's say if there were 200 people, then 150 came to reduce, 30 to get rid of diabetes, and the rest to have a good time. And as Schulz took over, he made them aware of needing psychotherapy, at least part of them. The whole thing had belonged to Lamans. You know Laman underwear?
Yeah.
Well, Laman was a natural healer. He believed in massage and bath and cutting wood and that kind of thing. So that went on there too. And also it was a kind of place where the patients would invite you to come along to the opera, or there would be dances where the doctors would appear on the scene, or the patients would take you here and there and there and there. It was a god-awful atmosphere, but he was Schultz, and he began to develop a psychotherapeutic department. And so I came there, and came there, oh no, not with a child. Since I thought I'd go only for 2 or 3 months, I left the child with a friend of mine in Frankfurt who had children the same age. And I went there and had a fine time because I could do what I wanted, namely really learn from him psychotherapy and freshen up on it. And after I'd been there maybe 3 or 4 weeks, he said, wouldn't I want to stay? I thought it was a little funny, but he said he would develop a real psychotherapeutic department and blah, blah, blah. And the salary was very enticing, and Königsberg, where my parents lived, with whom I was on good terms, but I didn't like too much to dip back into the family pool. And so I said I couldn't stay because I had this little girl to take care of, and she couldn't very well stay there with me. And Schultz says, why not? And I said, okay, if you can arrange that. Oh, then I couldn't stay because I ate kosher. And Schultz says, why not? You tell them in the kitchen what you want. Well, here I was, a little girl, not at all elegant like them, and so on and so forth. There were, I think, 14 doctors. And so finally I said, okay, if the child could come, and if I could eat kosher, and if I would not have to go to the theater with the
patients.
I'd much rather go, how do you call that here? We call it Olymp.
Hmm?
We called it Olymp. Highest rank. In expensive places.
Yeah.
Oh, Olymp.
How do you call it? Yeah,
yes,
well, Olymp. I said I'd much rather go Olymp by myself than orchestra with patients. Even though they were my patients, and I didn't yet know anything about analysis. And I didn't want to go to their teeth. I couldn't stand that whole hullabaloo. However, I didn't want to shirk responsibilities. Every doctor had to give, alternately once a week, a speech to the patients where you showed that we lived in Lama's tradition. So I said, I'd take over 3 speeches for one of any other doctor if I could be freed from all the other stuff. And that was okay. And then he went to the administration and said, I want to come with that child. And the head of the administration says, look, Schultz, we can tell that to the patients, that's fine. But why don't you tell us the truth? Do we mind? Nobody goes through the world with somebody else's daughter. Such a thing doesn't exist. Why do you tell us such nonsense? Why do you think we are that done? He told me that. So anyway, he said, he answered, I think myself that would be much nicer and it would fit in here much more nicely. Because such was the atmosphere there. But unfortunately, according to what she tells me, it isn't her child. So, we moved in there, and of course that was an atmosphere. The patients, when they left, gave a tip to the men who gave them their brush pass. They had blue books, I still see them, how many baths a week and how many mornings woodcutting and how many walks through the Sächsische Schweiz, very beautiful country, and went to see the doctor. So the bathing master got a tip, and the masseuse got a tip, and the head of the woodcutting machinery got a tip, and the doctor got a tip. The difference was only that the tip for the doctor was a little bigger. And this was during inflation, and lots of people came from Hungary and Bohemia, where they were still better off, and they gave you also real gifts. God, I got a hat and dresses and things like that, until one day I made up my mind that I couldn't stand it to work only with these wealthy fools. And so...
What year was this?
This was, let's see...
Just roughly. After the war?
1618... Yeah, it was after the war. After the First World War.
Uh-huh.
First World War was over 18... 20... When did I go to Heidelberg? It was around 1920, something like that, a little earlier. I stayed 4 years there.
Well, you were saying that the atmosphere with these wealthy fools was...
Well, so I'd say, you know, I don't need a tip. I have a very good salary, and we get, I just won't call that extra participation in the... total gain at the end of the year. How do you call that?
Profit sharing.
Yeah, you get a...
Profit sharing.
Yeah, but that's not what it was called. Christmas bonus.
Bonus.
But it was percentage too. And I don't need any tip from you, but I tell you, I don't say that because I don't want money from you. I want plenty. I want more than you want to give me. Because there are lots of people who are just as sick as you were before you came, and who cannot afford to come to my village. And I, in my free time, want to help those, and for that I need plenty of money. No gifts and no little tips, but big tips, which I want to use for that. And then I told everybody, and I got them. And then the following thing developed. There was something like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts in the Zionist movement. I was a Zionist at that time. And all young, you call them blue-white, the way the Jewish flag is. And all blue-whites who needed help came to my village. And I found them. It was a little place, and it was a sanatorium. And I found them rooms all around there, and I told them, you see, I had room and board was part of salary, and I told them as soon as I'd go to my office, they could come and sit in the house, because there they had heat and light. And they could eat all the remainders which were there. I would never send them back to the kitchen. However, if they would take staples like bread or so, then they should please replace it. And pretty soon I had money enough to have quite a bunch of them around there. And so there was only one condition made. They could use the house, but I had to find it in... best condition at 7 o'clock when I came home, and they were under obligation to give me back the money in small amounts as soon as they were well enough so that they could take a job, because I needed the money for the next one. And all of them except one, only one, did. But this made then a working day of 8 hours for the hospital, for the sanitarium, and 8 hours with these people. And also I wrote some papers. And then I had the child, and a vivid correspondence with the mother of the child. and with her grandfather. She was, the mother was divorced.
The second 8 hours was devoted to sick people who did not have money at the time.
Yeah.
You said there was something about...
Young Zionists.
Oh, they were young Zionists.
They were young Zionists.
Oh, but young adults.
What?
Young adults.
Huh?
They were adults?
Yeah, young adults. Sure. People who were, around 20.
I see.
A little older and younger.
So you gave 8 hours of psychotherapy to them?
Friday night we had a real violent